Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
America is reeling today as Satan works to destroy the moral fabric of our society. A disregard for God's standard of morality, an acceptance of the humanistic philosophy has led us down a path of moral ruin in this nation. We have sown to the wind and borne the words of Hosea. We are now reaping the whirlwind. Satan's work has led to a world filled with violence. The date of September the 11th, 2001, will live in infamy. But that day was only one small step, as Satan had worked to destroy both the moral fabric of the United States of America and that of the world. We read in Genesis 6, verse 11 through 13, about how the world of Noah's day was being filled with violence. Twice in that brief text, we read how that man had become corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. And so we read from Genesis, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Our eyes would have to be deliberately blinded to deny that Satan works to destroy the moral fabric of our society, and it's led to a violent world in which we live. And it should not be surprising to us that there would be attacks against our nation, because there have been constant attacks within our nation. These attacks have been attacks upon God. They've been attacks upon God-ordained morality. There have been attacks upon God's standard of righteousness, and we seem to have forgotten what the psalmist said, or what the wise man said in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, Satan's work to destroy the moral fabric of our society has centered in directing people to other gods, the god of materialism, the god of pleasure, the god of indifference, along with all the other gods that are honored above the true and living God. And it reminds us of the statement in Judges 5, verse 8, "They chose new gods, then was war in the gates. These are days of pain, these are days of sorrow, because many have chosen new gods." And any time people choose new gods, it will be awful days of treachery and disappointment. But God has said through Moses in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through verse 9, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And Israel of old, like the United States today, was not content to worship and to serve the one true God. Rather, as Judges 5, they chose new gods. Then there was their war in the gates. We read in Psalms 115, verse 12, "The Lord has been mindful of us." Our society is one in which people can work, in which people can live, in which people can earn a living, they can prosper, they can serve God. But when they choose new gods, that path will lead to sure and certain ruin. At the present moment in history, we may well be along that road, because Satan has been so busy working to destroy the moral fabric of our society. If our nation is to be preserved, it will be because enough people believe God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of our nation is in the name of God, and by the grace of God, to the glory of God, and in the presence of God. All our rights and blessings are the result of God's good grace. Satan's diabolical work to destroy the moral fabric of our society has centered in attacking the idea of the fear of God as a good and as a wholesome influence upon our lives. Modern religion wants the emphasis placed solely on the love of God. In our society, God is looked at more as a weak old man somewhere in the outer cosmos of the sky, whom no one has much respect for anymore. And the expression God-fearing is not one that finds its application at very many places in our society. Godly fear, though, is a wonderful motivation for developing a right moral society. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. And listen, for our God is a consuming fire." Peter said, "Fear God, honor all men, love the brotherhood," in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. And he says, "Honor the king." The fear of God has a purifying influence upon our lives and upon society. The 19th Psalm, in verse 9, says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." The fear of God is a powerful incentive toward a more moral society for our United States. Satan's work to destroy the moral fabric of our society is centered in getting people away from the true God, leading them to other gods, spelled with a little g. It is centered on removing the fear of God, and it's also centered in deceiving us with human philosophy. The philosophies would cut us loose from every moral restraint that there ever was. Philosophers say that no one has the right to say that the conduct of another person is wrong, but God recognizes certain things as right. God recognizes certain things as wrong, and it's His desire that we reach a spiritual state of full age, having our spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil, as he points out in Hebrews 5, verse 14. Morality is not whatever one defines it for himself. Man has tried to run his own affairs, and the result has always been disastrous. Jeremiah said long ago, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10, verse 23. And when man determines for himself what morality is, he soon loses moral consciousness. This lack of moral consciousness causes all moral boundaries to be broken. Today, we excuse fornication, homosexuality, adultery, lying, murder, rape, all kinds of violent crime. Our society is filled with humanistic and atheistic desires to overthrow every vestige of divine morality and common sense. The result of such is that there is much to answer for on the day of judgment. Solomon wrote to young men, saying in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 and verse 10, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." He said, now, you can live it up if you want to. But verse 10 says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Well, as we look at Satan's work to destroy our society, we see that, furthermore, Satan's work to destroy the moral fabric of our society has centered in destroying us with violent behavior. Whether we speak of Pearl, Mississippi, school shooting in October of 97, or that April day in Littleton, Colorado on September the 11th, the attack upon the World Trade Centers and upon Washington. All of this is obvious that the moral fabric of our society is being destroyed by violence. From television, from radio, from the printed page, we are bombarded by violence, and we're made aware that it's a dangerous world in which we live. Solomon said it well in Proverbs 4, verse 17, "They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." It's almost as if people do not know what is right and what is wrong. But we read in the book of Isaiah 5, verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Nothing could help the United States more than a good dose of Bible morality. It's not gun control that we need or drug control that we need, but character control. Violence comes as a result of a corrupt heart. And what's the problem? Hear the words of Proverbs 1:25, where God said, quote, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." And like the men of Issachar, of whom we read in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, we should understand the time and know what God's people ought to do. What we ought to do is obey God with a pure heart. My friend, are you concerned about the moral fabric of our society? Have you begun with self to surrender to God? Knowing that Jesus is the Christ, have you repented of your sins as He commands in Luke 13, verse 5? Have you confessed the sweet name of Jesus as the promise is given in Romans 10, verse 10? Have you been buried with Him in baptism to have your sins washed away and to begin living for the Lord? Or if having done that, but you've drifted away, do you not see your need to repent and come back to God, confessing your sins and asking God for forgiveness, and then work to make it a better world? That's our need. That's my need. And that's your need.